Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. As always, you're going to be, I know you're why you're here now, because you heard Stephen Covey's going to be back on the show. I don't blame you. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad Stephen is here. He is here, by the way. Stephen R. Covey, the author of the landmark book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Also another one that I helped launch, The Eighth Habit. I wasn't doing my show when he did the first one, but I was when he did the Eighth Habit, and we helped launch that on the show. We've done others since then. In his new book, which he co-authored with Jennifer Colosimo, called Great Work, Great Career, is out just right now. And he's our good friend, Stephen Covey. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. It's good to be on your show again.
It's good to have you back again. And we've run into each other every year for the last few years somewhere out there in the marketplace. I don't know whether that's going to happen this year, but I sure hope it does, because I always enjoy seeing you face-to-face. And as you know, I had your... One of your sons on the show, Stephen M. R. Covey, who's been a member of our Brain Trust for a long time with his books, The Speed of Trust, and he was on not too long ago, and we enjoy having him here. And I know you're proud of all your kids, and especially Stephen M. R. Stephen, this idea of great work, great career. Talk to us about what you mean by that.
Well, it has a unique angle to it. It's all based on the idea of being a solution to a problem instead of another problem.
Yeah.
To the HR department, so that you have to be very proactive and very creative in thinking and analyzing exactly where the needs are and the pain in your business. And so that you don't follow a job description. You instead write a contribution statement that kind of defines your role. And if it's in harmony with your voice, that is, with what you're good at and what you love doing, and your conscience, then you've got a great combination. So you have to really research competitors and customers and associates inside the business, and also any other business partners, to really come up with what the unique pain or concern of the organization is.
So and when you talk about this, are you talking about both the short term and the long term?
Yeah,
because every business has both. Doesn't?
Because you're thinking in terms of your career, not just.
Right.
Your job.
And when you say career, of course, in our case, in small businesses, we're talking about our companies.
Exactly.
And so we all have two kinds of pain. We have short-term pain. Am I going to have enough cash flow to make payroll this week? And the long-term pain is my company moving in a direction? Is it evolving? Is it growing in the direction that will make it relevant 5-10 years from now?
Exactly. You can imagine the kind of research. If I give this counsel to, say, 10 people,
yep,
only 2 or 3 will do it.
Right.
And those 2 or 3 will get the job they want,
mm-hmm,
seriously, because they're creating it.
And, of course, this applies to individuals who are looking for jobs. But see, in a small business, Stephen, as you know, it sounds a little bit like something I've been talking about for a long time, which is what I call entrepreneurial organizations that are made up of entrepreneurial employees.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. That's the whole basis of this book.
Which none of this can happen. What you're talking about and what I've been talking about, none of this can happen unless you actually, the managers, the people who run the business, actually will allow their people to have the not only the responsibility but the authority, right?
Exactly. They need them both, and they also need a great deal of creativity and research capacity.
Hmm.
So that they can figure out what the needs are. For instance, if you're a lot of sales organizations need a new marketing strategy.
And right.
A person who thinks outside the job description can come up with that and can recommend an entirely different marketing strategy in which the sales take place.
Stephen, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We've got to take a quick one and be back in just a couple of minutes. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Stephen Covey. The book is called Great Work, Great Career. Stephen Covey and Jennifer Colosimo are the authors. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. That's Grace Slick bringing us back. Jefferson Airplane. I think that was before they became Jefferson Starship. We're spinning some platters, rocking and rolling with our good friend Stephen Covey. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Stephen is our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust. I'm very proud to say that. And his new book is called Great Work, Great Career, that he co-authored with Jennifer Colosimo. Stephen, When you said something in the previous segment that I want to come back to, you talked about not being a problem, being a solution. That's one of the things that I've always tried to talk to my employees about over the years is if you've got a problem that you think you want me to know about, before you bring that to me, attempt to at least bring me your idea of how you would – if you can't solve it, if you don't feel you can go far enough and solve it yourself, if you can't, don't even want to try, at least bring me one idea for how you think you would solve it. And what do you think about that?
I like it, particularly if there are complementary teams in the small business where strengths are made productive and weaknesses are made irrelevant to the strengths of others.
But it also comes back to your word of research that requires them to go do some research, doesn't it?
It does. And that is kind of contrary to the industrial age model.
That's what you point out in the book is that this approach you're talking about is 21st century thinking, isn't it?
It is. It's based on the knowledge worker age.
Knowledge workers.
Which was the term that Peter Drucker used.
Knowledge workers, right.
And you have to have a lot of initiative and a lot of courage and a lot of self-knowledge and a lot of willingness to be part of a complementary team.
And Stephen, there's one other thing, though, and you were about to get to this, but there's one other thing that I have learned and I talk about as much as I can. None of what you just said is even close to being possible if the people who have the power to bind and loose, meaning they can hire and fire and have control of the purse strings, all that, if those people don't have a well-developed sense of redemption when somebody makes a mistake, because we know they will, if your people don't feel like you're prepared to redeem them if they make a mistake, none of what you just said can happen, can it?
Well, that's the essence of a complementary team.
Yeah. Talk to us about that.
That's where strengths are productive and weaknesses are relevant. It's kind of like a music group, the piano. The soprano doesn't try to take the place of the bass. And if you're a member of a complementary team and you avoid this top-down command and control approach and use a moral authority approach. I mean, the father of the largest democracy in the world, Gandhi, never held a position.
Mm-hmm. Never was elected.
I just had a great personal visit with Nelson Mandela, and he got his moral authority in prison.
Right, 26 years?
Yeah, right. And, you know, he slept on a mat, not even a bed.
Wow. Well, and so are you saying that the you know, obviously in a business, somebody has to make the ultimate decisions. You can't sing kumbaya all the time. Somebody's got to make a tough decision. Somebody's got to be, to some degree in charge. I know maybe some people don't like that term, but that's just the way it is. But that doesn't mean that the management has to be overbearing and overpowering, does it?
No, they can be servant leaders.
Yeah, I like that term.
And have just used their moral authority, but they still, if they have moral authority and formal authority together, they won't create an adversarial culture.
Right. One of the things you mentioned earlier also is this idea of creativity. To me, in small business, one of the most powerful components of any small business, and sadly, perhaps one of the least used, is the creative capability of the people. What do you think?
I totally agree that this is one of the more important dimensions that is ignored. And it's because I think of this industrial age model of top-down command and control, rather than allowing an empowered, creative workforce to develop.
One of the things, Stephen, that I've encouraged people is to say to, the managers and the owners of businesses to say to their people is three simple words that are very powerful. And this is in the area of being creative, and that's just to ask them, what do you think? I guess that's four words.
No, what do you think? I like that. And it encourages a culture of creativity to do that.
Right. And I'll tell you something. It's one of the ways that I've tried to become a better delegator. It's helped me to become a better delegator, because that isn't a natural thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to empower other people with the four words, what do you think? And to listen to them, it takes some pressure off of you as the manager, because now you're putting it over on them, and you're hoping they're going to come back with something that's better than what you had.
Exactly. And also, it encourages them to write a contribution statement.
Right. Great work, great career. How to create your ultimate job and make an extraordinary contribution. We're talking about the relationships, folks, between all the people who work in an organization just like yours. Tin Till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Stephen Covey. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We got Stephen R. Covey with us, ladies and gentlemen. Always a red letter day when Stephen joins us. And we're so happy to have him as a member of our Brain Trust. The new book is called Great Work, Great Career, which he co-authored with Jennifer Colosimo. Stephen, I was mentioning earlier about asking people, what do you think? And then I talked earlier about the redemption thing, about redeeming people after they make a mistake. And there's a simple question that goes along with that I think helps people. That I think is a fit for what you talk about in your book. And that is, whenever somebody messes up, don't say you're fired, but instead say, what did we learn?
Exactly.
And see, this ties in with what you talk about in your book, about treating people not like they're employees, not like they're indentured servants or slaves, but treating them like they're volunteers. Talk to us about that.
Well, there's four parts to our nature: our body, our mind, our heart, and our spirit. And you can't really command the body, mind, and spirit. You can more the body, but not the heart, mind, and spirit. So what you want is a whole person in a whole job. And you want to help them find their voice, which is the essence of habit 8. Find your voice and inspire others to find theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you have a real volunteer that is creative and has found his or her voice, you've got an absolute precious thing, and I like your idea of make it possible for redemption. I like that a lot.
If they don't feel that they can be, that they'll be redeemed if they mess up, they will not be creative. They will not be entrepreneurial, will they?
No, they won't, because
they'll always be covering up.
Too much at risk.
Yeah. So what I like this idea of volunteers. You're saying that basically the money is just that they're making is just a detail. I actually know a person who loved her job so much. I met her one time, and she loved her job so much. She says, I don't like Fridays. And I said, why? She said, because that means I'm not going to get to come back for 2 days. Now, that's a volunteer employee, isn't it?
Exactly. That person is committed.
Yeah, and that's what we've got to have these days. Do you think that the current younger generations coming along, you know that these guys are different from you and me, Stephen. They're a lot different from us.
Yeah, they're millennials, and they want purpose and meaning.
Do you think that your message that you're talking about in this book, the volunteer thing, the stuff that we've been talking about, do you think that that's going to land with more effect on them than it would have us gray hairs?
I have no doubt about it, because the gray hairs are more in the industrial age, and they think inside their job description.
But Stephen, but we're also the guys who and the ladies who own the companies that these people work for. And if we're going to maximize the relationship, we've got to learn how to do this, don't we?
Exactly. It's a new skill set and a new mindset. And it takes a lot of internal security to make these kinds of changes so that you don't just throw your weight around.
The difference between the relationship when I was a young pup and coming along and my bosses, and that same dynamic now, is significantly different, isn't it?
It definitely is. It's a quantum leap.
Yeah.
And the old-timers need to adapt to the new knowledge worker age, because supervision becomes an obsolete concept. You may need coordination and training and development, but you don't need supervision.
Well, and these young whippersnappers come along. They could cut us a break too, there, though, Stephen.
Oh, I know.
Stephen, I've got about 45 seconds left. Okay. Your last thoughts on. By the way, give us the website too, please.
The website is Stephen R. Covey.
.com. StephenRCovey.com. I don't know how many. You've written dozens of books. Have sold something under a billion copies across the galaxy. But the new one is called Great Work, Great Career. Stephen, last thoughts, 30 seconds.
Well, I'm excited about it, because if it really nurtures itself inside an organization, you literally unleash tremendous, empowered, creative energy from most of the people in that organization. And that is an exciting thing.
Yeah, well said. Stephen, thank you for being here. Safe travels this year.
Thanks,
looking forward
Jim.
To getting you back again real soon. And
okay.
all the best to the family.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stephen Covey, ladies and gentlemen. What a great American. I'm so glad that he's one of our friends. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.